No, there has to be someone besides Lowry.
Paul, if there was, I wouldn't use Lowry, but this is what I want. I need to see if the pedestals can be suppressed. If so, think of the financial incentives. Whoever controls that ability, that's worth a lot of money, Paul.
Maybe someone else can do it.
Maybe. And that could be what we're looking at. Someone may have already figured out how to suppress the pedestals. If so, killing Rutherford would make sense. It would be protecting a company secret of sorts. Rutherford was a mage. He tries to reverse engineer and create new magic with the runes. And if he found a rune-based way to suppress the pedestals, then he could teach other people. And that would be the end of your monopoly. Competition in a market like that would really drive down prices.
But Lowry isn't a mage. We cannot repeat what he's doing. You can't learn runes to do what he does. I don't think anyway, right?
It would be proof that you could. That someone could. Which means that someone else might be.
And then what?
Well, if it's an issue of protecting a corporate monopoly, then we could make it clear that Lowry can do this, sell it as a service, and see who comes after him.
That's just using us as bait again.
Mr. Paul, I don't know if I can make it any more clear that your group is incredibly volatile. I would love to hire you to do something safe and expert, but I know that there's no way you could do it without some kind of big catastrophe.
Well, maybe if we did it without Lowry.
At the risk of provoking your personal foibles, I would say that honestly any of the three of you has certain drawbacks to sensitive.
What's that supposed to mean? What's wrong with my foibles?
You're very, could we say, independent, which is almost a bit notorious in Catmen, but you have it especially bad.
I can work in teams. I just don't like to work with Lowry.
Well, it's not as though I've known you for a long time. We can chalk it up as a mischaracterization on my part. To get back on task, I need you to go ahead and get Lowry as soon as he's able, and we should go down in the dungeons and see if he can turn off those pedestals.
He's going to want to know what's in it for him. And for that matter, I'm curious what's in it for me.
Well, for you, it's not as though the work researching your parents is over. I can still delve into that as deeply as possible, and I might make some more headway, but the going forward's going to be tough, because the records just aren't there. I'm going to have to call in more actual agent work, people beneath me. So that's pretty valuable as far as it goes. As for Lowry, maybe we can tell him that we just want to do an empirical study. You know, try to prove that magic is real and he's wrong. And out of spite for us, I'm sure he'll go along with it.
You know, you might think that you have people psychologically figured out, but you don't have all the stuff in front of you all the time.
Well, you're
you know?
Correct. I just make a lot of educated guesses, frankly.
Okay, so you're going to have, like, actual field agents looking into my parents.
I think that's going to be the only way we make progress. So if you're fine with cooperating, that's a yes.
Okay, fine. But I'm not committed to anything else, okay? We're just going to test if the pedestals can be deactivated.
Fine. We'll see it up to that point for now. But I think you'll find that that next step is going to be necessary. Someone is going to come for you as soon as they figure out that Lowry can turn off those pedestals. I guarantee it. I think I'm onto something here. The motives line up.
I'll talk to him. We'll see.
Okay. Paul starts heading back to the temple. Elvis, while you're laying in bed, your dad comes to visit. He comes in, he's got a balloon, and he goes, "Hello, son."
"Oh, Dad, you brought me a balloon."
"I did. In fact, it's custom made. You see, on the front, it says, 'Get well soon.' But on the back, it says, 'If you don't, fight the devil.'"
"Oh, wow. You know, most people only think about get well soon. They don't plan for if it doesn't work out."
"You'll be the first adventureman to kill the devil, son. I believe in you."
"Thanks, Dad. Where's Mom?"
"Oh, well, your mother wanted to come. But I tried to tell her that it was a man thing. I wanted to have a man conversation with you."
"And that persuaded her? But Mom loves your man stuff. It's why she married you."
"That is true. She does love my man stuff. I think what I meant, and what she understood, is that I wanted to do a father-son talk."
"Oh, yeah. Mom's so clever."
"Yes, it's great how she knows what I mean, even though I don't say what I mean."
"How is Mom?"
"She's fine. How are things with you and your partner, Lowry?"
"Well, it's going okay. I mean, the usual. Like, he and I fight all the time."
"Ah, good. Sparring keeps you both sharp."
"Yeah, but he's more into, like, mental sparring."
"Ah, more like a wizard. That's kind of your mother's domain. That's how she prefers things. You know, I ask, because if not for her, I'd be dead. Thanks to her spells and her expertise, and her armor, I've lived many more battles than I should have."
"Oh, yeah. Mom's armor saved my life, by the way. You gotta tell her that."
"I'll let her know. She'll be pleased to hear. You know, we're talking about your mother a lot. I really should have invited her to this father-son conversation."
"Oh, speaking of her, my armor got mangled in that fight in the dungeon. Do you think that maybe she could repair it?"
"Of course. I'll grab it and I'll take it home and I'll get it fixed up in tip-top shape, no time at all.
You mean Mom will fix it?
Yes, but I'll provide emotional support.
Oh, Mom always loves that.
We make a great team, your mother and I. Oh, but speaking about your near-death experience in the dungeon, I heard that you and your friends took down 3 Minotaurs together, by yourselves.
We did, entirely alone as a group.
Well, son, when I threw you out of the house, I said you couldn't come back until someone wrote a song about you. Now, unfortunately, although someone would have written a song about that, the guild is trying to keep it mostly under wrap, so no one has heard about it, least of all any bards.
Ah, dang.
Yes, I know. You would have been off the hook, and I would have been so pleased. But per the rules of our agreement, I just can't let you back in the house.
I didn't even think about the song. Ah, man. Well, I've been working really hard, Dad.
You have. And I agree, it's deeply unfair that the guild will not let you speak of your exploits to get that song written. They just won't seem to respect a covenant between a son and his family. I have been arguing and arguing with the higher-ups.
Oh, I bet you gave them hell, Dad.
I did, but they would not budge. So I had an idea. What if we modify the agreement so that you can get back in the house if you get a song written about you, or if you challenge me to single combat and manage to draw blood from me?
You mean I could come back home if I'm able to stab you?
That's right, son. Previously, I didn't put it out there because I thought it would be suicide for you. But I see now I've underestimated you.
I'll think about it. This is a big challenge.
It is. And that's the father-son thing I wanted to discuss. I guess your mother could have been here for that.
She would have been supportive.
She really would have been, and she might have helped me stay on track. I mean, a terrible mistake. What was I thinking? Oh, anyway, though, I'll take your armor and I'll get out of your hair. I'll come back with this as soon as it's repaired.
Thanks, Dad. I'll think about how to stab you best, okay?
I know you will, son. But don't make a misstep in combat with me, or I'll put you right back in that hospital bed.
I know you will, Dad.
Yes, that's my boy. Well, see you soon, son.
Okay, after my dad leaves, I guess I get up out of bed and then find my way down to Lowry's room.
Oh, finally, someone besides Bubblegum. Everyone has been avoiding me except for at mealtime.
Yeah, Bubblegum said you threw your bedpan at him?
Only once. And then he threatened to take it away, and I said, fine, do it. And he realized I wasn't bluffing. Since then, it's been a stalemate. I haven't thrown it, and he hasn't taken it away. And for the record, I don't really need it, but because they won't really let me get out of bed, I don't really want to, like, not use it yet. But the time is coming.
Larry, I have a really important question about interpersonal relationships that only you in your wisdom could help me understand.
Whatever you're thinking, the answer is no.
Gosh, you're so good about having answers.
Of course. I'm very good at pattern recognition. You're going to ask me something stupid, and the answer is no.
Well, it's settled then. I'm going to challenge my dad to single combat with bladed weapons and draw his blood.
Why? What are you talking about? Also, how does me saying no get you to that point?
Well, I was going to ask, is it fair for me to deny myself the opportunity to fight my dad in single combat and test my mettle and growth as a warrior?
I guess the answer that I meant to give was shut up and stop trying to use your brain because you're wrong.
Oh. Oh, okay, I get it. You want me to use my heart. And I feel very strongly about battling my dad, so yes, I should fight him.
No, don't decide with your heart, because your heart is just an extension of your brain.
Well, the heart's a brainstem thing, right? And then, like, your thoughts are part of a different part of your brain.
How would you...
I read it in a comic.
Comics are fiction. Comics don't know how your brain
works. Well, Purdy's is actually surprisingly accurate on some things. You know, you can learn real spells from a Purdy's book if you wanted to.
Magic is also a fiction, Elvis.
Oh, yeah, I forget. Oh, but that explains why comics are so good at teaching you. Because if it's all kind of a fiction, then comics are fiction, and all the logic works out.
Why do you want to fight your dad in single combat?
Well, he said I could come home if I defeat him.
So what? We've been over this. A home is whatever rock you sleep on, wherever you find the crickets that keep you nourished.
Oh, no, I get that. But it's not really that I want to, you know, go home. It's that I want to prove that I live up to my family's expectations.
Your family expects you to behave in a fashion that is both reckless and dumb. And I can tell you for a fact you're already both of those things. You have nothing to prove.
So,
Am I actually getting through to you?
Yeah. I get... It's kind of futile, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Finally. Finally, yeah.
Even if I could defeat my dad now, this is just a step on my journey, and tomorrow... I'll be better, and the day after that, even stronger. And so at any time, past the point when I can beat my dad,
Okay, listen. The point is that you give up on all of this and not worry about defeating your dad, because it doesn't matter.
Right, because if I just keep getting stronger, then that milestone eventually will just be in the past.
Well, no. I mean, yes. You know, like, Eventually you'll get old and you'll lose all this physical expertise.
Like, it's a thing, you know, if you practice for 10,000 hours, they say you could become a master at something, but then what if you practice for longer? Eventually, 10,000 hours begins to feel like nothing. That's just a journeyman phase. Mastery also comes in levels. In fact, who knows what level that my dad is at? Is he up to multiple levels of mastery? Maybe I'm nowhere near him yet. Lowry, I think I understand the problem.
Yes, it's that you kept talking after I told you to stop thinking.
It's that all this time I have been using my dad as a standard to measure my power and ability. But that's ridiculous. I don't know entirely my dad's capabilities, but I do know my own. I should be using myself as a standard and should be trying to surpass that standard.
Okay. That sounds like something I'd agree with, but it also sounds like you're going to apply it to something I disagree with.
Oh, but I see. Because you can't just, like, only learn from yourself. You do have to learn from others, right?
Yes. I think there's a proverb that's like, if you know yourself, you'll win half your battles. If you know yourself and your enemy, you'll win all of your battles. Although, statistically, that's impossible.
So maybe I should battle my dad just to know where I am in relation to him, and if he's better than me... Now I'm lost again.
Just don't battle your dad.
Okay.
Thank you. I wish more of our conversation started at the part where you agree with me.
I think it's just not an imperative yet. But I'm gonna go back to bed. I'll think about it more.
Tell Bubblegum that soon I'll be able to rise from this bed, and the reckoning will be upon us both.
Okay, Paul, when you get back to the temple, what would you like to do?
I think I'm gonna stall and dodge all the questions for as long as I can.
Okay, more than a few times, Namir is gonna bother you about Omar. So have you made a decision yet, Paul?
I have thought about it, sir. It's a big thing, a big decision. I'm gonna, you know, figure out how to approach it.
Well, Paul, it's important to be aware. Omar's not a patient man. If you get to him faster, he'll be happier than if you wait.
Right, yes, but perfection is not rushed, sir.
Namir shrugs, and essentially runs this line of reasoning past you as often as possible.
Well, as everybody's recovering, I'm going to avoid Lowry and spend time with Elvis. I'll bring in board games and stuff, and we'll talk.
Hey, Paul, how come you don't sign on with Omar?
What? Why would you ask me that? I'm trying to play checkers with you.
Yeah, but I always lose, and I was curious why you don't sign on with Omai.
Because he's brutal and dangerous, and probably another one of these guys who thinks that everyone but him is stupid.
Don't you think that?
I mean, not with the same level of confidence. I recognize it's kind of a flaw. You know, he's probably, like, gonna kill people over it.
He's definitely got that big guy confidence.
Yeah,
problem.
So if Omar's like that, what if he thinks that I'm stupid?
Well, he'll probably kill you and he'll blame you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good reason not to sign on with
Thank
Omar.
Thank you. Cannot even imagine what Lowry would say. He'd probably have some contradictory advice.
What if you join Omar and then you kill Omar and blame Omar? Then you could just
How
be
about
the
we
guy
just not do that...
that?
How about no?
Well, so when are you going to tell him that you're not interested?
What if that makes him mad and he kills me?
Well, sounds like you're going to be killed no matter what.
I know, right?
Well, it's going to be a while before Elvis and Lowry are back into shape. Like, probably about a month or so. Before that time is up, Chip Dougal's going to visit again. He shows up without warning, then walks in on Paul and Elvis. He goes, "Hey, Guildies. How's the broken stuff going?"
Oh, hi, Chip.
Oh, yeah.
It's healing nicely.
Hi, Chip. Good, good. Get better soon, Guildies. Because I came by, not for no reason. This whole thing with Torvald, it kind of came out of left field a little bit. And I was mad for a while, but we've been watching the whole situation, and I think we know where Torvald is.
It was mostly Lowry who was interested in it.
Well, hey, it's a team effort, Guildies. You all went down there together, right? You want to see this all tied up, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Never unfinish what you start.
Wow, very pithy. Well said, Guildy. Never unfinish what you start. And it turns out, Torvald didn't escape the dungeon. He just went deeper in. See, I had Rox keeping an eye on him. And Rox has got eyesight like you wouldn't believe. Those diamonds he has for eyes, they're special. Don't tell anybody because it's a secret. But Rox watched Torvald go deeper and deeper and deeper until Rox couldn't see him anymore. We think Torvald's at the bottom.
Is there a bottom?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But don't go spreading that around either. I mean, it's theorized and everything, but Rox has seen it. Here's the problem. We can't just let Torvald be at the bottom. It's classified, I can't tell you why, but Torvald being at the bottom of the dungeon is a bad thing. Ordinarily, I wouldn't bother you about this. My team is pretty good, and we can get down there if we have to. But Omar, for whatever reason, vouched for you guys to come along, seeing as how you're kind of the locus of the whole problem, or worse.
Sir, I will be the first to admit that this is all way outside of our pay grade at this point. Whatever you think that I think, I don't...
Guildy, it's cool. Like I said, Omar vouched for you, and I argued that you guys would just be a huge liability. I mean, you would not believe some of the stuff that's on the lower levels. It's not even worth fighting it. We're normally really restrictive about this. As in, almost nobody knows about this. Pretty much just the city council. But Omar, for some reason, will not let it go. And I have known Omar for a long time. You know what? He doesn't like people. But he will not tell me why he so keenly wants you guys to go down in the dungeon with us. Do you know, Guildies, why Omar cares about whether or not you go down with us?
Is this a rhetorical question, or are you seriously asking?
Oh no, it's a serious question. I don't know why Omar is so serious about this. Like, you are going to die. You're going to go down there, and I cannot save you. You are going to die. One of the things that comes out of the pedestals will kill you.
Nah, we could take it.
I don't think that we can. Sir, I don't... I trust if you tell me that we're not going to live through a dungeon delve, then I believe it.
Hey, it's nice to know that somebody agrees with me. Because Antiphates Rawl was there for this meeting, and he advocated to let you guys go down. So Omar's for it. Antiphates is for it. Baron Bartleman, of course, doesn't know anything. And normally the Guildmaster Jensen would defer to me, but for some reason my right hand was undermining me during an important meeting. I don't know, Guildies, you've gotten a lot of special attention. I admit some of it came from me, but it is a dangerous amount of special attention. Why? Do you know why? Can you tell me? Because your life depends on me knowing. Why are you important?
I honestly don't know, sir.
I'm going to be so angry if it turns out that you know. I am advocating to save your life, Guildy. Why don't you tell me why I'm doing that?
Well, we have a theory, sir, that maybe Lowry can disable the pedestals.
You got to be kidding me.
Really? It's just a theory. It hasn't been tested. Can he? We don't know.
How long have you had this theory, Guildy?
I don't know. Really recently, since after the Minotaurs.
Wild. Seems out of the blue to me. You're sure?
No, we're not sure.
And sir. Omar knows about this, but I don't know about it.
I don't know why Omar would know about it if you don't.
Chip stamps his foot and he looks away, and his smile is thin and strained. Omar is my very close friend. Oh, he would have told me if that's what he thought. If he thought you could do that, he would have told me.
Has he told you why he is interested in us? Did he tell you that he wants me to be his protege?
Yeah, he told me about that, and I didn't get that either. Omar's never had a protege. But you know what, Gil? He doesn't even seem to care about Lowry, so that must be unrelated. He seems keenly interested in you.
Well, I can't turn off pedestals. I don't do anything special.
I know, right? Why would he care about you? You know what Omar said when I asked him? He just goes, he got what it takes. And then Omar shrugs. It's the nicest thing I've ever heard Omar say about anyone ever in all of my history with him. And I don't think Omar even knows you.
That's terrifying news, sir.
It feels like I can't trust anybody these days, Guildy. You know, I am just trying to run an organization as well as I can. And people just want to play games and mess around and not keep things straight. Are you sure you don't know why Omar is interested in you? Because if you know, my life would be so much easier. And you and me, man, I will do something cool for you, Guildy. I swear it. Just help me trust somebody, okay? Help me figure out who my friends are. Why does Omar like you?
I don't know, sir.
Okay. Then here's what we're going to do. All right. You never be alone with Omar. Make sure I'm always there, or I don't know what's going to happen to you because I don't know why anybody cares about you. As for your friend Lowry, don't tell anybody else about the fact that he can turn off the pedestals. You don't know for sure he can do it, right?
No, not yet.
Okay, then I am insisting that we go and test it out, because that's another thing. It's just another thing on my plate. So we'll get it off my plate. There's nothing else we can do. That's how these things work. Just got to keep moving one step at a time. So we'll figure that out. And then step two afterward, okay?
Yes, sir.
Good. And in the meanwhile, think about why Omar likes you like your life depended on it, okay?
I will try to puzzle it out.
Great. And Chip turns to go.
Oh, sir?
Should I accept Omar's offer to be his protege?
No! Are you listening to me? Do not be alone with him. Stall on that as long as you can. You know what, in fact, tell everybody that you're gonna do this mission with us, and that'll be when you decide. Alright? The longer you spend, the better.
Okay, I think we're on the same page.
Good! And Chip turns and he leaves.